Thank you, Janet. Well, as I say, do keep that reading in front of you, and do use the handout or the colouring in sheets, whatever is helpful. What are you looking for in life? As a pastor, part of my job is to try to be on the lookout for what motivates people, what drives people. And there are lots of different things. Obviously, we're all different, but there are three things that I think many people are looking for: purpose, intimacy, and wonder. So a sense of purpose, that we're here for a reason. We've got something to do, to accomplish. Intimacy with another or others. Wonder, being able to look at something beyond ourselves, to be caught up by it, satisfied. Think when you saw an amazing view or a sunset, how you felt satisfied by something outside of yourself. Well, as we think about this psalm for the next few minutes, as we prepare to baptize Arthur and Lily, we're going to see that wonderfully the Christian faith offers all three of these things: purpose, intimacy, and wonder. We're going to see that above all, the Christian faith is about a relationship of purpose, intimacy, wonder with the God who made us and has loved us in Jesus Christ. At the Annaby Churches, we're coming to the end of a short series looking at some of the Psalms. They can be found about halfway through the Bible in the Old Testament, and they're basically prayers to God or about God. Many of them were sung by God's people thousands of years ago. The most famous is probably Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," but there are 150 of them altogether. And many of them, including Psalm 27, were written by King David, the greatest king of God's people in Old Testament times. It's generally recognized David was a kind of forerunner of Jesus Christ, God's ultimate king, who lived on earth 2,000 years ago. If you'd been in the right place at the right time, you could have met Jesus, and David for that matter. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, he went back to his Father in heaven, where even today he rules over his world. Like Jesus, David faced all sorts of trouble in his life. And in many of the Psalms, we find him telling God about his trouble and putting his trust in God while he's in that trouble. And Psalm 27 is a psalm like that. So we're going to learn from David what it looks like to trust God while we're struggling. And as we do, we're going to see whether or not we consider ourselves Christians, what the Christian life consists of: a life of relationship with the God who made us and loves us, a life of purpose and wonder and intimacy. So first, who the Lord is to David: my light, salvation, and stronghold. Have a look at verse 1 on the reading, beginning of the reading. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." We can see David's situation, can't we? And we can see his response. He's facing great trouble. He talks about the wicked advancing against him, an army besieging him. And there were several times in his life that we can read about in the Old Testament where that was true. And look at verse 12, towards the end of the reading, the little 12. "Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." False witnesses were rising up against him, people telling lies, trying to bring harm, smear his name, shame him. And we know all about that, don't we, with the things said about others, maybe about us on social media. Elsewhere, David and other psalm writers talk about illness and the evil that that brings. So David faces great trouble. How does he respond? Well, we've already thought about those images, haven't we? Light, salvation, stronghold. And in the face of this trouble, David looks to God and he trusts God. He says, "God, you are my light, the one who leads me, who shines in the darkness. You are my salvation, the one who delivers me, rescues me out of whatever trouble I'm in. You are my stronghold. You're a castle, a fort that I can run to and get protection from whatever I'm facing. And when I do, verse 2, it's my enemies who will stumble and fall. It's a wonderful statement of trust and confidence in God, isn't it? I wonder, what do you turn to when you face trouble? Where do you turn and trust? Maybe a loved one, maybe yourself, your ability, your resources. What about turning to the one who made you and loves you and has complete power to protect you? I said earlier that David points us to Jesus, and in the middle of his greatest suffering, Jesus prayed like David does in the psalm. He turned to his father. So as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying before he died, he said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me." And as he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he still died because he had to, as we'll see. But 3 days later, God was his light, his salvation, his stronghold. He raised him from the dead, as Christians celebrate on Easter Sunday. And he raised him to heaven, where even now he rules over his world in perfect love. And for us today, we can also pray this psalm. We can look to the Father through Jesus. I've prayed these words words like them many times, asking God to be my light, my stronghold, my salvation, expressing my trust in him that he will. Just to give a little example, think of a time just a few weeks ago when we were walking in Scotland on a particularly difficult and steep path next to a waterfall, and we cried out to God to help us. And he did, and we're still around to tell the tale. But why can we pray this prayer? I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus had to die. When he died on the cross on Good Friday, he brought the greatest salvation, the greatest rescue to those who turn to him and trust in him. The Bible tells us we've all turned away from God, rejecting his good ways and gone our own way. And that leads to misery and mess and death. And we still experience much of that, don't we? But as Jesus died on the cross, he brought forgiveness and a new start with God. He brought his Holy Spirit to live in us and help us to live for God from now on. And also through his death on the cross, he showed just how much God loves us. For if God the Father was prepared to send his Son to die for us, there can be no doubt that he loves us, whatever that we're going through at the moment. And of course, what we're talking about here above all is a relationship with the God who made us and loves us, a relationship with the God who made relationships. We have all sorts of relationships with other people, don't we? And yet somehow we might not think about having a relationship with God. But who made all those other relationships? God did. God, who is himself a God of relationship. Of course, it's not an equal relationship. The Bible talks about God as Father, us as children. That's why we look to him as light and salvation and stronghold. But for those who are willing to come to him as his child, what a wonderful relationship. What confidence we can have. The confidence of at the end of the psalm, little 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we've seen who the Lord is to David and who he can be to us as well. David goes on to say what he will do or what he longs for. So verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What does he want to do? He wants to be in God's house to gaze on his beauty and to seek him. And we'll think about what those two things are in a moment, but first, where can we do this today? In David's time, if you wanted to meet God, you went to the temple. You went to that building. But now we live after the coming of Jesus, and the Bible tells us that means we don't have to meet God in a particular place. Rather, today we meet God through his word, the Bible, in the power of his Holy Spirit, as we get to know Jesus Christ. Christ. That might be as we meet with God's people in a church building like this. It might be as we hear God's word and respond in prayer on our own. But the main thing is we can still gaze on God's beauty. We can still seek his face. And when we do, we will see him. So let's think quickly about the two things David does and what we can do. So first, he wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Now, we might find this surprising. We might find it surprising because David is in trouble. He's facing enemies and battle and slander. And he wants to gaze on God's beauty. But actually, I don't find this so surprising as I think about it. I've had times in my life when things have been so hard, trouble has been so great, that all I can do is gaze on God's beauty and praise him for who he is and trust him to get me through. And gazing on God takes me out of myself and helps me see my trouble in perspective. But we might also be surprised because many people think God is not beautiful. Many people think of God as a terrible taskmaster and think of Christianity as being about doing your duty without any joy at all. But David's telling us, no, we've got it wrong. The Lord God is supremely beautiful. And when you stop to think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? After all, God made every beautiful thing. He made Arthur and Lillian, each one of us. He made the world. He made the views, the sunsets. He made love. He is love. So how much more beautiful must God be, the one who made all that? And we've already thought about the most beautiful thing that God has done. Jesus' death on the cross to bring forgiveness, to open up the way for any of us to have a loving relationship with the God who made us. So it's quite right David wants to gaze on God's beauty. He wants to be caught up in wonder, in the wonder of seeing God and his beauty. After all, it's what he'll spend eternity doing, and it helps him trust God during the time of trouble. Second, David will seek God. The end of verse 4, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What does that mean? Well, it means he'll try to find out what God's purpose is for him, what God wants him to do, how he wants him to live, what his plans are for him. Again, at the end of the reading, the little verse 11, teach me your way, Lord, he says. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Show me the way to go. I don't know the way. Show me. And again, I've found with David that God gives purpose. He gives direction when we seek him. He guides me. He shows me the way to go. So as we finish, let's think about what all of this means for us today. Maybe you're here with us and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet. We're delighted you're here. We love it when people come to find out with us about Jesus. And you're welcome to come any Sunday to join us. It may be over the years you've heard and taken on board all sorts of wrong things about the Christian faith, things that you need to unlearn. And today there's an opportunity to start that journey. What have we seen? We were made for relationship with God. Many of us are looking for beauty, and the God of the Bible isn't ugly, he is beautiful. Many of us are looking for wonder, and gazing on God in Jesus Christ provides us with that. Many of us are looking for purpose, and God gives us purpose. He shows us his will, and he leads us as we ask him to. Many of us are looking for intimacy. And what greater intimacy could there be than being in a relationship with the God who made us and loved us so much he sent his son to die for us? Many of us are facing trouble, and we have an invitation to be able to say, the Lord is my light, my salvation, and my stronghold. I invite you to say that. Even today, you can say that. And if you do, then tell a friend who's a Christian, and they'll help you work out what to do next. Second, as Arthur and Lily are baptized, it's worth just asking, what's happening when a child is baptized? They're not becoming Christians. Being baptized doesn't make someone a a Christian, but rather it's their parents saying, this is who God is to me, my light, my salvation, my stronghold. This is what I'd like to teach them and to ask others to help me teach them so that in time they themselves are able to say, Lord, you are my light, you are my salvation, you are my stronghold. That's what we pray that Arthur and Lily will be saying for the rest of their lives. Finally, a word to all of us who are Christians, who are trusting Jesus and seeking to live our lives for him and his glory. Psalm 27 shows us, doesn't it? Being a Christian doesn't make life easy. We still face illness and the troubles of life, and in some ways as Christians we face more trouble. Opposition from those who don't like Christianity, the slander of those who want the Bible and Jesus to be silenced. And we face the daily struggle against our sin. But we have the most important thing of all, a relationship with God. A relationship of wonder and intimacy and purpose. A relationship that lasts forever, for we believe that just as Jesus rose from the dead, those who trust in him will also rise from death to be with him in a perfect new world forever. And he gives us the strength to face whatever the future may hold. So we're left as Christians with a question. Whatever we're going through at the moment, will we with David say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Let's just pause for a moment and maybe think about one thing we're going to take away and think about in the week ahead, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you that knowing you brings purpose, intimacy, wonder, the greatest of all relationships. Pray that you would help each one of us to discover more of that this week. Pray for Arthur and Lily that they would discover that day by day, week by week. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.